94.7 The Wave. Good morning. I'm Pat Prescott. With me in the studio today is my dear friend, Lonnie Jordan, founding member of the incredible group War, coming back to the Greek on Saturday, May 26th, this time with another old friend of ours, Mr. George Clinton, Parliament Funkadelic. I don't know if we could stand that much funk and great music in one place in one night. Lonnie, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Pat. I'm honored that I pinch myself every morning and look in the mirror and say, God bless me again. I've made it another day.
and another glorious day, because always something really cool happening in your life. Yeah. And a lot of it has to do with you, because I think that you bring a lot of that joy to the party, you know, and that's where it starts, you know, with that beautiful attitude and beautiful spirit. But you've had a great life, man. You've done a lot of wonderful things, and certainly coming out there and playing this great music that so many of us grew up on and have just kept. I mean, it still sounds fresh as ever today, the music of War. And I think it's part of why we've got this new tradition here in Southern California. It seems like you kick off the summer concert season every year now at the Greek. I mean, this is like the first big concert of the year.
I think they do it because they know that War always bring good weather. Beach weather. And it's always warm in California. We take the weather with us everywhere we go. We are a summer band.
Yeah.
Summer. Oh.
Summertime is almost here.
Yeah. It's all a blessing, and it's another form of giving, and that's what we do.
It is. How many years has it been now since the group formed?
Let me see. That's a good question. I never counted all these years, and I've never missed an engagement. I would say 50 years now. Close to 50 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yes, amazing. That's why I can't remember. 50 years.
You have a really good excuse. You and the Greek, it's like a marriage made in heaven. I mean, what is it about that combination that is so special? I mean, they know they can bring you back every year. And, you know, we get huge crowds that come out. And that feeling of love and togetherness, that is just nothing like it. You feel it at a War concert.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with being outdoors too, under the stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the that breeze and everybody's a lot of the same faces out there too. I see, and of course, maybe their hairs are getting a little whiter, and then they see a little mini me next to them. So they have their kids; they're turning their kids on to us. But then sometimes I wonder who's turning who on to us, because the kids know maybe even a lot more about our history because of Google, of course, than their parents know.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents only know, I mean, the kids know more than I do about me. They go into details, and I'm saying,
they're reminding you of things you've forgotten. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And but that's a good thing, and that makes it all fresh. Also, mm-hmm. you know, being on stage and playing the music different every time, and having the people join in and sing with us. And also those kids are saying, wait a minute, one of my favorite hip hop groups or singers sampled this song. I know this. I know.
Exactly.
I've heard Slipping in the Darkness. I heard Smile Happy. I know that track, you know, or Lowrider, but it's a good thing. So we are definitely part of history of all genres of radio, you know.
Yeah,
so.
And one thing that really has changed since, you know, back there in the 70s when all of this started, what a great decade for music the 70s was. You know, you look back at that. But now with the internet and technology, a lot is different. It seems to have brought the fans closer in a lot of ways because there's an access that wasn't there before. You have an opportunity now through social media to really communicate with people who love and adore you that you wouldn't have been able to before.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that adds a little something to it. Do you use social media?
Much? I use it. Yeah, I do use it. I have no choice.
It's true.
I got my phone in order to communicate with my fans. They come at me almost more than they do, more than they come to the concerts. So I'm like entertaining on social media as well.
Yeah.
Which I love it, you know, and that's another form of communication with my audience, which, you know, I love. They get to know me a little bit more than they did before, you know. And between you and I, you radio personnel, of course, back in the day, said DJ. But between you and I, we are both troubadours, you know. So we both do pretty much the same thing. We entertain the people and we inform them. You know, but again, like you say, when the social media came in, that pretty much took precedent over everything.
Yeah, it's added a different element. I do kind of miss one-on-one communication, you know, where people would talk to each other.
I do too.
You know, I just kind of feel like, you know, I've got Facebook friends, but I had real friends before that, and they would pick up the phone and call me, and I'd call them back. And
you have to be a little bit careful on what you type, because if you're typing something in your car, you're a passenger and you're typing something to send to someone or to post, and all of a sudden you hit a bump and you misspell something, call someone rotten or something, and all of a sudden you accidentally hit send.
Hey, that doggone autocorrect is the devil, okay?
And you got to fight with them. They're you know. So that's another situation that I don't know. I have issues with that. I rather talk to someone one-on-one.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have someone miscalculate what I say and then twist it around, and then it gets out on social media that I said something that intimidated someone. I don't want to do that. So I'm very careful what I say, and I try not to say too much, because the more I say, the more I'm going to want to say, and then there's someone else that know how to twist it around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you just really have to be careful. You don't know who's lurking. You know, I don't want to be negative about it, but
I am
old school.
And there are trolls out there, too.
Yeah,
there's a lot of that, a lot of haterism going on, and that's something that needs to be wiped out. And I know you certainly are not about that.
No. And I'm still old school, so I have the right to be paranoid.
That's right. Lonnie Jordan with us in the studio today. War is going to be performing at the Greek Theater on Saturday, May 26th, along with George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic. You know, one of the things that I do love about the internet and about YouTube in particular is all the great videos that people have uploaded from concerts. Mm-hmm. You can see so much concert footage that's amazing. Have you seen some of your stuff that's on YouTube?
I try not to, but I know it's there.
it's some really good footage. There's some great things too with George Clinton, who we were just talking about. Tell us a little bit about what it is that you think has made George Clinton such a great contributor to American music, because this man is amazing when you look at that body of work.
Yeah, he's been there, done that, seen that, was and still is. And George just, he's nonstop. Yeah, although I've heard some rumors that he may be retiring, but I doubt that.
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah, I do too. I doubt that, because I don't plan to ever retire. I may get a little tired, but I'm not going to retire. But George is an American icon. As far as I'm concerned, he could have been the president before Bill Clinton. It would have been George Clinton, you know, this toast to the boogie and all that stuff. You know, I mean, George is one of my favorite. After James Brown comes George Clinton to me.
You know, I recently went to a CD release. Actually, it was a listening party for Sheila E.'s new record, which you got to hear. It's called Iconic. It's amazing. But
she
reprises a lot of the great music of that era. And they do One Nation Under a Groove. And I was there and I saw this guy who was sitting like two rows behind me, and he had a real cool outfit on. I was like, that brother looks old school cool, you know. And I'm looking at him and say, he looks kind of familiar. That was the first time I saw George after he had shaved off all his hair. And so it was George Clinton.
Yeah.
And when I realized who it was, you know, he's like royalty.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of in awe of this man whose work still means so much, I think, a part of it because of those young people you're talking about who have rediscovered his music. But he's always remained relevant, always willing to collaborate with others.
And humble.
And very humble.
That's
about
why you didn't know who he was.
Because, you know, humble. You see him on stage, you think this guy's nuts. You think he's really crazy. But he's really a very cool, kind of laid back guy. Yeah. You know, have you guys toured together before recently? I know back in the day you did a lot.
Yeah, a lot. And we've done some things in the I would say the 90s and what are we now? 2000? Yeah. In 2000, we've done some things. In fact, we've back when there was airline issues with some of the airlines in the 90s, we ended up doing substitutions for some of the gigs that they couldn't make it because of airline problems.
And was that like the air traffic controller thing back then? What was that for?
I forget the name of the airlines, but they're no longer around. Mm-hmm. But we ended up, we were on the road and we were close to Canada, so we ended up flying a prop plane with one bathroom. We went with the Blind Boys, you know.
Of Alabama?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And we ended up taking that flight. It was the flight from HELL, but it was, but we made it two props and everything went for 3.5 hours. And we bounced in, and it was cold when we got there. But once we landed, it was good. The show was good. It was hot, you know. So, and I have to thank George. Not only that, but when they didn't make it, that means it was another gig for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I feel blessed every time I play and see those smiling faces out in the audience.
Yeah.
And I still say to the fans, thank you so much for being our Rock and Roll Hall of Fans. That's my trophy, seeing those smiles.
I hear you. And yeah, there are a lot of smiles there, too. One of the things I love about a war concert is that it brings together so many different people from different ethnic backgrounds, as you mentioned, different ages and generations.
Right.
And I think that a lot of it has to do with the message, which really is encouraging. Mm. You know, the power of something that's positive and uplifting is so subtle that I think sometimes it goes over people's heads. It makes you feel good and you don't really even know why you feel good. But is that something that's intentional on your part, or is that just a representation of your spirit, that positivity that you hear in all of your music?
Well, definitely a representation of my soul, because it comes out naturally, you know. And like my wife always say, words are powerful. So
and
again,
she is right.
Social media and all that stuff, I have to be careful what I say again. But whatever I say, I bounce off of the people that I'm performing for, you know. And even if I'm not performing, like I'm talking to you right now, I'm careful about what I say. But the way I'm feeling is even more important, and I pretty much express in that form, you know, of how I feel. And I guess like women's emotion, that's what I have. And music helps me become that, or it puts that emotion on me, you know, because I feel like I'm writing all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's something that just happens natural, you know, it's a natural thing.
Yeah, and you were always like this as a kid? Were you just the uplift? I mean, you know, some people are moody and, you know, and serious, and you just bring a lot of joy. I mean, I feel it every time I see you, you know, if we're just talking or if I just run into you guys or, you know, or if we're at a show or whatever, you are consistent. Yeah. You're always the same, which is a nice quality to have.
Yeah. I come from a laughing family. I come from a very laughing family. My grandmother, my mother, everybody just laugh all the time. And my brothers, and we just love to laugh, and we laugh at things. I mean, one of my brothers used to watch, we used to watch old movies and watch people fall off of a cliff, and the only part that we would laugh at is when he would go, bam! And it was the sound effects that we laughed at.
That
was so
funny.
That's funny,
because that's what our cartoons used to be, was that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
With the Road Runner and all that.
Yeah, yes.
These cartoons they have now are a little complex. I don't know what's going on. They're a little different.
It's more like a battle, like war.
It's blood. A lot of reflecting what you see in all of those video games and stuff today.
Yeah, I have to say, as much as I love our world, and I still do, and I love our country and everything, I'm just kind of over it as far as like seeing how angry everybody is toward each other. I don't understand where that came from. And it's really angering the world even more, the earth, that is. You know, the only happy species on this planet are some plants. You know, plants, flowers, you know, and the only way you'll know that is by hiking someplace, and you'll see that some that have not been touched by man, angry man.
Yeah.
They're still happy. There are happy plants, and there are some happy people, but they're hidden in corners somewhere because they're afraid to come out because of all these angry people at each other.
Yeah, there is a lot of that. But once again, like I was saying, that's one of the things that makes those shows that you do so special, because they really seem to bring people together. And music does that. Music has the power to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that when you use your gift that way, it's a really good thing. You mentioned your family a moment ago. Now, when you were growing up, do you think your family thought of you? Did they realize what you were going to do as a musician? Did they?
I think so. I think being the youngest out of four boys, you know, being tortured to death and screaming and crying and hollering and running, and I became a runner. And
that just toughened you up a little
bit.
Yeah, huh?
And screaming, I think that helped my voice, you know, to sing. And actually, we formed a little home group.
Uh-huh.
They never left the door, outside the door.
Mm-hmm.
But I was Frankie Lyman.
Okay.
And my brothers were
that
the background. Yeah. So we.
So everybody in the family sang? All your brothers sang?
Pretty much, but not like me, because I, like I said, I was the screamer.
Mm-hmm.
So I developed a voice before they did, you know. But as far as, you know, listening to all types of music, all genres of music, my mother and my brothers turned me on to all types of music. Calypso, rock and roll, when rock and roll was Chuck Berry and Little Richard. Then I got turned on to hard rock. And then, of course, I did say calypso, but blues, jazz, Latin, classical, all that stuff, all that type of music we had the chance as kids listen to, and we used to simulate it, you know? And so that's...
Well, that explains the war sound, too, because it is an amalgamation of all that stuff that you're talking about. You know, I think about a song like City, Country, City. I mean, just the places that it takes you in that one song. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well,
and this music has stood the test of time, Lonnie. Yeah. How about that?
Like me. I have stood the test of time. And I'm like, I look at my wife and I say, she has too.
We oh, no, she really has.
Stood the test of time. 61 years old.
I think she's
old.
Standing better than you, Miss Thomas.
What? Better than me?
You know your wife is fly. Don't even try it. But you know what? She's way more than just a pretty face. And this I will say, no question. There's a lot of depth there, and I know that you know, she's the wind beneath your wings in a whole lot of ways too.
Hey, that sounds like a song. You know, let me write that.
You should write that, man. That could be a hit. That one could be a hit. Now I know, Lonnie, when you started this journey, you know, back when we were teenagers, you know, you started with a different group of people than the people that you're with today. The same vibe, the same feeling, that same music, it feels so much the same to me. How does it feel to you? I mean, and when you look back on those days, you know, I know that, you know, some of the original members are gone, you know, today. I know that meant that you're in contact with most of them. And I was just wondering how does that feel to you that you're not finishing up with the way you started?
Actually, I do feel like I'm finishing up the way I started, because when I think about it, the original members were, I grew up longer with them than I did my own siblings, you know, so I got to know them more than my own siblings in a later date. The guys I have now, same thing. I know them more than I knew. So what I tell the band members that I have now, I always tell them, I say, for God's sake, stop thinking. When you get up on stage, look at the people. They will write for you. They will take you to the place you need
That's
to
real.
Go.
That's
you know?
True. And I see that happening in your shows. I mean, when you guys did the Taste of Soul, that was a real magic connection between you and the audience, and the band was rocking. Oh man, everybody really relating to each other in that organic way that seems to have been the hallmark of the period in which you started this group.
And it's always one that causes problems. And when they did that, we were just getting into why can't we be friends, and it ended it. Because, but when we did Slipping in the Darkness, it caused the ruckus. And
that
then we
awesome.
Yeah. So all our songs, all the people pretty much look at each other. We do The World Is a Ghetto or something, and they pretty much look around and say, yeah, okay, they're teaching us something. You know, they're telling us, like troubadours, what's going on around us that we may be boxed in and not really realize. realize what's going on around us. But war is telling us. They've been telling us all this time.
That's right. Mind music, you know, either made to inspire or to inform.
Yeah, and without
and
being
it does
political.
All of that. Yeah, without being political and without being pushy about it and all of that. It's kinder and gentler and really nice. And what are we going to hear at the Greek?
You're going to hear the hits. I'm not going to bore you so you can fall asleep on me. I don't want you to leave and go buy no beer. I want you to stay there because the people, they got to work too. If I'm going to be up there singing, they got to sing with me.
I don't think that's going to be a problem.
No.
Because they know all the words.
Well, I'm going to test them and see.
They know all the words and some of the music, too.
There you go.
Lonnie Jordan and War. It's a Wave Soulful Summer Concert Series. George Clinton and Parliament. Funkadelic also coming to the Greek Saturday, May 26. Tickets are available at AXS.com. And if you haven't been to any of these Greek shows with War, let me just say, what are you waiting for?
There you go.
I can't think of a better way to spend a night under the stars at the Greek Theater, listening to the wonderful songs that have really provided a soundtrack for many of our lives. Man, we appreciate you so much, everything that you've done and continue to do. And Teresa, keep taking care of him, because he's never been better. Oh, flexing your muscles now. Oh, my.
I just thought you ought to see that.
Show off. Lonnie Jordan, founding member of War and a loving member of the Wave family as well. Thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you, Pat.